And let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Galatians, starting with chapter 3. As you know, in my series in the latter half of this year, I'm preaching through the book of Galatians section by section. And the book of Galatians, as I've said before, is the book of freedom. The theme of this book is the freedom that we have in Christ. In chapter 1, Paul says that Christ rescued us from this present evil age. And in chapter 2, Paul talks about the freedom that we have in Christ that other people were trying to take away. And we're going to continue along that theme here in chapter 3. You can write at the top of your notes, the title of this message is Trick or Treat. Trick or Treat. And this is not original material. This is actually taken from a pastor that I listen to often, and I think it was a good title for. I couldn't come up with a better title, so this is his. Trick or Treat. And I'm going to go ahead and read chapter 3, just the first bit of the chapter, not all of it. And I don't have it up on the screen, but I'm just going to go ahead and read it. But let's go ahead and read the first five verses. The first five verses of Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Let's read. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? And we're going to stop there in the interest of time. The first thing is trick or treat. This is not a message about Halloween. I know it is October, but it just is a fitting title, I think, because in verse 2, Paul says, who has bewitched you? Verse 1, who has bewitched you? Who has put a spell on you? Who has played a magic trick on you that you think you are able to have salvation, have freedom in Christ any other way than the way you learned it? In other words, these Judaizers, these people who came and tries to teach you another gospel. They're teaching you the gospel that says, if you are religious enough, if you give enough money, if you sing enough songs, if you go to church enough, if you take part in Christian events, read Christian books, listen only to Christian music, then you'll be free in Christ. That's what these people are trying to tell you. And that's not the gospel you heard and accepted. You heard the gospel that says Jesus came to set you free from any kind of religion, any kind of trying to be religious. Because Christianity, I've said it before, it's not a religion. I understand that there are some aspects to Christianity which is religious. And religious is basically what humans do to make a right relationship with God. That's religion. They offer up things to God. They pray, and they do things with other people who believe their religion. And Christianity has an aspect of that. But Christianity is a relationship more than it is a religion with the God you are being right with. And Paul is saying, somebody tricked you. Somebody just did a right in front of your eyes, put the veil over your eyes to make you think that you can be right with God by doing all these things. And those Judaizers were the ones saying you had to become circumcised. You had to become Jewish. in order to do it. And like we said before, freedom in Christ, our salvation in Jesus Christ is not about a culture. It's not based on anything other than what Jesus did on the cross. It is Christ-based. It is cross-based. But instead of these tricks, you can have these tricks, but Paul says, instead of these tricks, you can have treats. Not a trick, but a treat. And what are these treats? The first treat that God gives to us is the treat of his presence. The treat of his presence. If you look in verse 2, it says right in the middle, did you receive the Spirit by observing the law? He puts it in the form of a question. Did you receive the Spirit? In verse 3, after beginning with the Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. As we know, God is God the Father, God the Son. And God the Father is the one who created everything, spoke everything into existence in the beginning of the book. And then God the Son, Jesus Christ, is him who is our mediator between us and God the Father. It is through God the Son that we are able to have a relationship with God. And it is through God the Spirit that we are being guided into all truth and being led every single day of our lives in our relationship with God the Son and God the Father. And Roy has been covering those scriptures all through this year and a half that he's been moderating for us, who God the Spirit is. And basically, we have the treat of God's presence, his Spirit. We began with the Spirit. When you trusted in Jesus Christ, when you gave your life to God, it says in Ephesians, he put a mark, a seal on you, his hanko on you, and it said Holy Spirit. It said sanctified. That means God's Spirit is our paraclete in John 14. He walks next to us, side by side. We have the gift, the treat of the presence of God. You do not walk alone in your faith. You may have a difficult time living in Japan because it's a foreign culture, it's a foreign language. And I know I have had times where I feel alone. And even last night, I went to a party after our sports festival, and I'm still a new guy in our company. We had a little company party last night, and I come in there, and everybody's speaking in Japanese, and I'm still not used to Japanese food. I can't really, down all of the sushi that people just love to take in, I just have a couple of slices and I'm done. And then, people are just chatting away. And believe it or not, I get nervous when people are all around me just chatting in Japanese. I kind of just get in this little shell and I get into this little wallflower mode. And I feel so alone. But I thank God that even in those moments, I have the treat of God's presence, and I have his Spirit always with me. When I'm tempted by sin, Holy Spirit, I know you're with me. I need you right now. I'm going through temptation. Help me walk through it. I know that this is not something that I can't overcome because your Spirit is with me. When people are trying to get at me or people are pushing my buttons, Holy Spirit, you are with me. I have your presence, and Lord, I need you right now to keep me from losing my mind, to keep me from losing my temper. Holy Spirit, I have malice and I have bitterness that I can sense trying to get a foothold in my heart. I need your presence to be real right now, Lord Jesus, and keep that malice, that bitterness away from me, outside of me. I need you, Lord God, and that's what we have in Jesus Christ. It is a treat of his presence. Not only do we have his presence with us, but we have the treat of his power, God's power. It says in verse 5, again, he puts it in the form of a question. Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law? God works miracles in us. That's God's power. God's power. And I know that there's some of us who come from backgrounds who don't believe that God does these, you know, still the same kinds of miracles of healing and resurrecting people and all of that that we see in the Bible. But whether you believe in those things or not, the fact that you are saved, the fact that Jesus Christ is in your life is a miracle. The fact that God took you from walking towards hell, turned you around, and allowed you to walk towards Him, that is a miracle. God working in nature to do something supernatural for His purpose. God superseding the natural order, suspending the natural order, which is us naturally going away from Him, and turning it around to accomplish His purpose for our life. That is a miracle. And you believe that if you believe in the freedom that we have in Christ. We have the treat of God's power. And not only is He doing it, not only did He do it when He turned us around, but He's doing it now, keeping us away from all these attacks from the enemy, keeping us away from these dangers, seen and unseen. God's power is with us, even if we don't realize it. It says in Psalm 139, He keeps His hand above us. He has a hedge, His hand, before us and behind us. It is His power. And there are many people who talk about angels and, Lord, put a hedge of angels around me and put your guard around. And that's fine if you see that in the scriptures of God putting His angels around you. But more, what I see more in scriptures is God Himself putting His Spirit around me, His hand on my life. And when I pray, I say, God, I want you yourself to come and protect me and to guide me and to walk me through this storm, to help me get through this situation by your power. God saved us. This is the thing. He saved us and He said, okay, now you're saved. Now you're made right. Your sins are washed away. Good luck with the rest of your life. He did not do that. Praise the Lord, right? He said, I saved you. I turned you around. You're washed white as snow. But not only that, I'm going to be with you now the rest of your life so that you don't mess it up again. And you could keep it on the right way. And I know you'll trip, you'll stumble, you'll fall. But that's okay because I'm with, my power is there to pick you up again. And that's the beauty of it is Paul writes in Ephesians, you know, it's the same power that God used when He rose Jesus from the dead. That's the same power at work inside of us. Hallelujah. That's a treat. We have the treat of His presence with us. We have the treat of His power on us. And finally, we have the treat of His promise. His promise. And we didn't read it, but if you looked at verse 6, consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And that whole section of him talking about Abraham is his talking about His promise to Abraham long before there was the religion of Judaism, long before there was the law on Mount Sinai. He made a promise to Abraham, a man named Abram. And He said, go to a land I'm going to show you. And what did Abram do? He went. He followed God. And he believed God's promise. And that was Abram's salvation. And that is ours as well. God made a promise. And when God makes a promise, you can believe God will keep that promise. I don't know how many times I've made a promise and I've broken it. But God is not like a man that He should lie, or nor the Son of Man that He should repent. When God says something, you know it's going to happen. And God promised us that we don't need religion. We don't need to do anything except believe what He said He did on the cross. That when we believe in Jesus Christ, we have the hope of heaven. We have the hope of eternal life. And we have the promise of blessing. Basically, God promised to bless Abraham. And that's what we have. The promise of Abram's blessing. How are we blessed? We're blessed because we're saved. We have salvation. We have a right relationship with God. We are the children of God. And as I read in 1 Peter chapter 1, we have this inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for us. When we meet God on that day, that's God's promise, the promise of his blessing on our life, because we are his children. For those of you who have children, and I know I have one, on the way, man, Jesus says, you who are evil, even you who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more the God of love wants to give you all that is available to you according to his love, according to his compassion. We are blessed because we have salvation, but we're also blessed because we have God in our life. God, when he is in your life, he's working to bless you, not to curse you, not to make you, not to hinder you or hold you back. When God puts a commandment in your life, not to do evil, not to sin, he's not holding you back. That's not to hold you back. That's to bless you. When God says, don't have sex outside of marriage, that's not to limit your pleasure in sex. That's to bless your pleasure. When God says, don't lie or give a false testimony or misrepresent yourself, that's not to hold you back, but that's to give you the blessing of a life that's honest and a life of the life that is full of integrity. That's what God is doing to bless your life. When God gives you a command to keep bitterness out of your heart, to forgive as Christ forgave you, he's not trying to hold you down and make you a doormat for people to walk on. But God is trying to bless you by keeping you free from anger and judgment on other people, which you have no right to do anyway. That's his blessing on us. That's the promise that he has. And so God has given us the three treats, the treat of his presence, the treat of his power, and the treat of his promise, his blessing. And I just want to close by allowing us to remember that we are so blessed by the God who promised blessing to us through his son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Shall we close in prayer? I want to ask you guys to rise as we close in prayer and sing our closing song together. Let's pray. Lord of glory, Rose of Sharon, rare and sweet, we worship you in spirit and in truth, and we thank you for your spirit, Lord. All the treats that you gave to us in your word, the freedom that we have in Christ. Hallelujah. We do praise you and honor you. Father, for those here, even myself, who are struggling to be free, Lord, help us to struggle no more, to trust in your promise, to utilize the power that you have for us, to walk in your presence daily. Lord, I pray for those who have been walking alone or walking not knowing that they have your presence with them. Lord, open our eyes again to your presence with us daily. Lord, for those of us who are walking without your power, Lord, help us to be weak once more, that you would be made strong, Father. Help us to bow to your lordship over our lives so that we can realize your power as we walk day by day. Lord, for those of us who have forgotten your promise to bless us, for your promise, Lord, to save us and set us free, Lord, help us to remember again that we are blessed because we are children of God in Christ Jesus. And we will thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing our closing song.
He is jealous of me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree, bends and beneath the weight of his wings and mercy. And all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are, and now visions are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves. loves us. Oh, He loves us so. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Yeah, He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He
pray for you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for filling us and this place with your Spirit. But Father, as we go from this place, we ask that you would lead us by your Spirit, that as we are led, we would have the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, gentleness and faithfulness, and self-control. And for these good things, we will thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.